from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart, because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you could imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I'd known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. And welcome to Jeremiah down in Southern California. How are you?
I'm doing so good. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Is it just an absolutely beautiful day down there? What a pretty spot.
It is. It's a little overcast. I'm right near the beach, so the mornings tend to be a little overcast, you know, and it kind of burns off around 11, 12 o'clock. So it's kind of a nice, peaceful morning, you know, before it introduces you into the chaos. So I kind of like that.
You know, we used to call that fog. Now I hear the weather people calling it marine layer, or, you know, fancy things like that.
Marine layer for sure. Or, you know, recently it's been introduced to us, the atmospheric ocean or river or something like that too. You know, it's just a whole swath of different experiences.
All right. Well, speaking of experiences, we're going to be talking about your near death experience. Just briefly first, tell us a little bit more about you. We know where you live. What do you do?
Yeah. So I'm retired now from the military. I'm currently writing a book, and I help mentor different men and different people throughout life and try to help them get through some obstacles that they're facing. But really who I am is I feel like I'm a walking manifestation and representation of love. And so I like to give love out to people and express love and express creation through my actions. So that's who I am.
Imagine a world with everybody having that attitude. Let's all express love.
That's really what it is for me at the end of the day. You know, I realize that love is life itself, and it is, you know, love that it's like the, for me, love is the emotional response and the chemical and electrochemical response within the body of life being created. You know, I think that's why we represent love with the heart, because the heart is the largest producer of electromagnetic energy. And it's that same energy that leaves our body upon death. And it's that same energy that provides our consciousness. And so when we look at the heart being the largest producer of energy, and it's that energy that dies, and you have to realize that love is life itself. Love is the emotional response to energetic life being created within us. And so to represent and manifest love through my actions is to manifest creation, which I think we're meant to mimic.
Recently, somebody posted a review about this podcast. And they said something like to the effect of, it's just a big love fest. Love, love, love. And I don't know if they were trying to slam on it or compliment it. I think it was a little bit of each. But we'll watch our love quotient today. Make sure we don't go too terribly far.
Yeah. It's life. You know, love, like I said, love is life itself. You know, it's when we think of love in the terms, you know, physically, we're thinking about emotions, you know, and emotions are subjective to the interpreter. And because of that, emotions don't tend to hold a lot of truth in them. They hold a lot of perception in them, but the truth of the experience is kind of lost sometimes. We can overstate that. And so, you know, love is life and it is creation. And we say that it's just, what is love? Who knows? Nobody knows, because our defining mechanism for that emotional love stems from all of our independent experiences. And nobody has the same experiences, so nobody can have the same definition of emotional love. And for me, that was an important thing, is to define love, you know, to define what it means to love. What does it mean to feel love when you go out into the mountains and into nature? What does it mean to love the flowers or love the colors? What does that mean? And what is it doing to my body? And what is it making me feel? And that's a really important thing to think about. You know, love for me made me feel free. It made me feel safe. It made me feel like I could become anything. It was encouraging. It was, you know, peaceful. And it gave me life. And that was one of the experiences I had, was like, I realized that I really loved the experience of being in nature. And nature is doing one thing. It's creating more life. It's creating the more experience. And it's that creation of life itself that resonates deeply within the core of my being, because I am itself creation manifested in the walking form. And so that's why we connect with nature and we feel this love. This is why connection is so important to love, because love is the expression of creation. And it's the feeling of that creation happening within us. And so I don't think you can get too much love. I think you can get too much interpreted emotional love. But true love is life itself, and it is creation manifesting itself through us. And we feel that emotionally.
Have you ever had an opportunity to observe a live volcano up close?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
I mean, you're speaking of creation here, and I've had an opportunity to do that and fly over it in a helicopter and when it's going into the ocean and stuff. And it's a profound feeling that I don't know where else you can get when you're seeing that kind of creation happen. Now, of course, volcanoes can have devastation too, but these recent eruptions over in Iceland, I'm like, I would love to get over there and see that, because I know what that feels like. It's pretty cool. Anyway, let's get to what people are tuning in for today. We're going to talk NDEs. Do you still ride a motorcycle, by the way?
I just recently sold my motorcycle. I still hold a motorcycle license, and I probably will in the future. Not the same way that I was riding before.
Let's go back 7 years. Tell us what was going on with you and your motorcycle that day.
Yeah, 7 years ago, it was my buddy's birthday. I had just come out of a devastating part of my life where I had just been in the grips of depression and anxiety. I felt like I wasn't really living. I was just merely existing because my body wouldn't shut down. And I wasn't in a good place. I'd lost my identity as a man. I lost my jobs. I was injured in the military. And so when I walked into this experience, I was really had just kind of given up on life. And the day that I went out riding, like I said, it was my friend's birthday. I went out and just rode recklessly, and there's no helmet laws where I was living. So I didn't have a helmet on. And I guess I had like a subconscious death wish. I wasn't really finding life anywhere around me. So I went out and rode recklessly and ended up crashing my motorcycle. When I crashed my motorcycle, I was, you know, doing about 50, 60 miles an hour. I came down hard and flew up in the air. And I remember not flying in the air so much as landing and hitting my head. And I landed sideways on my bike and my head hit the asphalt. And the moment I hit my head, it was a really surreal experience. I had no pain, but I had the understanding that this was how I died. And I didn't know up until that point that I had been subconsciously thinking about that and wondering when that time would come. I think we all have that we don't really realize. And I realized in that moment that there was so much peace in knowing that this is how I finally went. You know, I always wondered.
That's crazy.
It is weird.
That's amazing you're alive. I mean, at that kind of speed with no helmet to hit your head, that's a total miracle. Did you run into something or just lay it down around a corner?
I laid it down. I was trying to pull wheelies. And just being ridiculous.
Okay, 7 years ago, you weren't a teenager, I can tell.
No, I wasn't a teenager, but I don't think my spirit has grown much. My body isn't in line with my spirit for sure sometimes.
All right, so you lay it down, smack your head. What happens next?
Well, I'm brought into this place of just complete emptiness. There was nothing there. I felt weightless. I didn't feel my body anymore, but I was still me. There was still an essence of me still there and conscious and aware. And I remember thinking, like, this is such a weird place to be in. There's nothing here. I'm weightless. I don't have a body. I didn't know where I was. And I was just kind of like taking it all in and just feeling so much peace and so much love and so much joy. But I didn't know why, because there was nothing that I should be excited about. You know, there's nothing there in front of me. And I started looking around, and all of a sudden I noticed from the outside that there were small lights that were forming in, kind of like going into hyperspace, and the stars just come in front of you and are warped. All these lights started forming in around me, creating a tunnel. Each light was like a pixel on a TV, and each pixel had its own color, and each color was just beautiful you know, shade I'd never seen, and had this depth to it that was breathtaking, honestly. And it was colors I'd never seen before. And I remember thinking that when I'm looking at these colors, I'm getting an emotion attached to it. And so I'm not just seeing the colors that I'd never seen before, but I'm feeling this depth of emotion of an entirety of an experience. You know, it's just like every emotion that I could feel within this color was coming forth. I was just in awe for a while, looking around and seeing all these different pixels. And I remember looking at one in particular and being drawn into it, almost like it was pulling me into the color. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. I looked around. I was like, I don't know where that goes. You know, like, where's this going to take me? And, you know, I just kind of went back to it and looked at it some more, and it just kind of sucked me into the color. And it was really weird, because when it got sucked into the color, I was overlooking an experience of my life. I was within, you know, a memory, which, you know, this memory I would have never remembered, you know. And so I was in this moment of an experience, almost like I was reliving it, but I wasn't in my body. I was kind of overlooking it from, you know, above my shoulder.
So would you call this a life review, a type of, or part of it?
It was absolutely a life review.
Okay.
Absolutely a life review. It brought me back to an experience I had when I was a kid in a gas station. I remember saying hi to this lady who was there. And in this experience, I got to witness the effect of her emotions on that interaction. But also I got to see my intentions behind my emotions of that interaction. And it created a complete picture of the experience itself, what it did, how it functioned, what was the necessity for this interaction, how did it affect things long term.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? What did you learn of how it affected her and you?
So every interaction that we have, when we create an experience within our mind, we are projecting that experience through our actions. That experience is entangled with them because we create an emotion within them. If they do not have control over their emotions and they're living an emotionally truthful life instead of a truthful emotional life, they are subjected to the environment that we give them. Okay. And not only that, but every experience is connected to the very next one. Okay. So I had been living in a mindset where I should have lived a different way. This is where my depression came from. I should have changed this, or I could have done better here. But the reality of the situation is that there's no other possible outcome for it. Because it has happened that way, it is meant for it to happen that way. And when I live in these moments of regress, when I'm going back to an emotional experience from the past and living within the emotions, I'm not able to draw the truth out of the experience and learn what I'm meant to learn and use that information for the future or future decisions or future environments or future connections.
Yeah.
And so each experience happens the way that it's meant to. We're only meant to figure out a way to react conducively to how life is creating. And so I wasn't doing that because I was creating experiences based upon emotion, based upon needs, had nothing to do with what is life and how I can maintain that life in my experience and theirs. It was just about me. And so I saw how it all fits together. It's not just my experience. It's your reality. It's everyone's reality. We all have an independent version, an independent viewpoint of it. And the best thing to do is acknowledge that viewpoint and know that it's come from a long lineage of experiences and perceptions. And if we can honor that and we can represent what life is, we can live in a purity of creation that allows growth, not just for ourselves, but for everyone else around us.
Because your actions are affecting the other person.
Absolutely.
The specific example that you just used, how did you see or what did you see as far as how what you did affected that woman in the store?
So I got to feel the emotion of her being validated.
So you did something positive, in other words.
I did something positive. I said hello to her.
And that was it.
That was it.
Maybe a little smile too.
That was it. It's a very simple action that I was just doing just inherently, you know, I just did it and I didn't realize the repercussions of it. And it really got me thinking about, you know, every small action is a projection of energy. It's a projection of either life or death. You know, the power of life and death is within the tongue. It's within the words that we speak. And cymatics, you know, proves this. And Dr. Emoto with his water experiments prove this, that we have an effect upon the world around us, whether it's in plants, whether it's in water molecules, or whether it's in people. You know, we have an effect. Our vibrational frequency, whether it's through words or our aura or, you know, energy, we are impacting other people around us and our environment. You know, and that's very powerful to think that we are either creating life or we're creating death. That's it. There's nothing more to it. You know, there's no gradient in there. It's either life or death. We're either creating emotions that are stimulating chemical responses that are conducive to proteins that are going to, you know, allow the DNA to respond and create the environment of the body, which is the environment of the spirit. And so we're either creating, you know, environments that are conducive to the growth of the spirit, or we're doing things that are taking away from that. We're creating negative emotions, negative chemicals. Those are having an adverse effect on the body, and that has an adverse effect on the spirit.
Well, you think about road rage. You've got a couple of those negative things going on. They grow, right? One person ticks off the other one, vice versa, and it grows and grows until it's out of control. And you think that doesn't affect other people on the road, especially if they create a crash, whatever. Anyway, back to your experience in that life review. Were there a lot of other experiences like that that you saw, remembered?
I went down, you know, 6 to 9. I went down a few of them.
Okay.
And they were all pretty much the same thing. They were different experiences. Some of them I would have never remembered, just a simple hello or simple interchange. But they were all pointing to one thing. They were all saying, look at this from a different perspective. Look at it from the perspective of creation. How is this creating life? How is this conducive to the creation of life? And how is it not? And what is a different way that we can perceive things? Because at the end of the day, what we are is the perception. We are the perception of creation or of death. Everything falls under those two categories. And so it's our perception that makes us who we are. And our perception in every experience creates the environment of the emotions. You know, and we are blinded to the very thing that we are, which is energy. You know, it's the spirit. It's who we are. It's what we are. And so how does a blind person see truth? Right? How does he see truth? He has to feel truth. And so because we're blinded to our truth, we must feel the truth. And that's what emotions are. They're energy in motion. It's energy meant to create an environment that's going to lead us back into the path of creation, of to what feels right, of to what love is, right? Because that's the connection. Because I don't know what everyone's beliefs is, it doesn't matter, but in the Bible, it says that the original sin was disconnection from God. The byproduct of that is death, right? And so ironically, Jesus came back to give the instructions on how to connect back to God. And what is that connection? It's not adversary, it's not destruction. You can't have destruction and creation in the same place. They don't serve the same masters. And so what Jesus was teaching is get back into alignment with creation. You know, he talked about the Holy Spirit. That's the energetic environment of life continuing. If we look all around us, life is happening. It's unfolding. It's in the trees. It's in the plants. It's in the grass. What are they doing? They're creating more life. And so if our body is containing the spirit, and our senses are bringing in energy, you know, light energy, audible energy, chemical energy, thermal energy, kinetic energy. It's all energy movement, right? We're all interpreting different energies. That's different dimensions. We're a multidimensional being, intaking different energies. Those energies are being placed through our projection or our perception, and then it's being put in that order based upon that. And that perception should come from the heart. You know, because the heart only knows two things. It knows life and death. And they've done studies where they hooked up an EKG and an EEG to participants, and they showed them pictures that were meant to elicit emotional responses. And what they found out was that the heart would always respond first, every single time. And in numerous times, it responded before the picture was even put out. But they could measure the energy output of the heart and the brain, and found that the heart would respond first, and then it would shoot it up to the brain. So the heart is intaking the energy, right, from the universe, from the quantum field, whatever you want to call it, from God. Okay. And then it's being measured because we have neurons inside our heart. We have a heart's brain. Okay. And so the brain is like, hey, is this life or death? Then let's shoot it up to our brain. Well, our brain is a storage facility of all past experiences so that we know how to use that information so that the next time we come across a problem, we can use the information. And that changes the progression of life. And so it's all about, you know, just a continuation of creation. It's falling back into alignment with creation. It's saying, hey, if we realize that love is not emotional, love is life itself, we can figure out how to love people. We can just life people. If I give you life, it's going to feel like love because it's going to feel like growth. It's going to feel like creation's happening. So we are blinded to what we really are, but we've been given the ability to feel how creation happens. And when creation happens and we're involved or in the presence of creation, we feel love. And this is why we love nature. This is why we love being outdoors. This is why we love people that aren't telling us what to be, but encouraging us to be everything that we know ourselves to be.
You have obviously learned really a lot in the last 7 years and from the experience you had. Before we move on and philosophize more, I want to hear more about the experience itself. So I don't know if you can put this in sort of a linear timeline, but I'm going to say, hey, what happened next or what do you remember next that you can fill us in on?
Sure. So as I went down the tunnel and got to go in and out of these experiences, and as I felt this immense amount of love in me, I got to the end and I noticed that the structure where these colors were in, there were some blank ones. There were some empty spaces. And I remember having this knowing that, okay, these empty spaces haven't been filled with color yet. So maybe the experience hasn't been done yet. So maybe I've got more time, you know, in life. And it kind of refreshed my spirit. It gave me excitement. It gave me excitement. The moment I realized that, I realized that there was a being behind me. There was a presence behind me. And that presence was so immensely powerful. I couldn't look at it. I didn't want to turn my head back to look at it, but I felt this power and strength, but I also felt safe and I felt loved. It's that feeling you get like when you're at the supermarket or the checkout stand and somebody's standing too close to you and you know somebody's there. You don't have to look, but you know they're there, you know. And it was like that. And the moment I realized that I was safe, I was protected, that whoever this was, this angel, had been with me the entire time. And it was what was pushing me in and out of one experience, almost like I would have got caught in the experience had I stayed in one of them. So it was almost like he was leading me down the experience to show me what's going on. And it spoke three words to me telepathically. It said, become the purpose. Become the purpose to me at that time didn't make any sense. I didn't know what my purpose was. And become the purpose, like that seemed like a galactic task and I didn't know how to become the purpose. So I felt like there was a mission that I had to go do. I had to become the purpose and I didn't know how, but then a white light came out from in front of me and literally just, it didn't shine on me. It shined through me and became part of me. And it was almost like the light held all the information that I needed to know. Every bit of information that I needed to know about my life and becoming the purpose was ingrained in there. And in that very moment of that understanding, I had been on pain medication from an accident in the military and multiple surgeries. And I knew that I had to stop taking pain medication and I had to start meditating. And I didn't know that I could do two of those things, you know, there's no way. But it wasn't like, hey, you could do this or you could do this. It was like, this is what you're going to do. And if you don't do it this way, all of that crap your whole life from not listening is going to keep happening. It's going to keep happening because you have separated yourself from your purpose. You've separated yourself from the reasoning for you being here. And I had been, you know, unbeknownst to me, been looking for my purpose my whole life. And I'd been blinded to it. I didn't know what it was. And so if you don't know the purpose of a tool, you don't know how to properly utilize that tool. You know, and if you don't know the environment in which the tool is used, you don't even know where to start to begin to understand it, you know, and that's a rationality for me to think about in construction. You know, I can't use this tool to the best of its ability unless I know what it is and what it's doing and where it's located and how it interacts in the environment. And so I knew that I had to understand who I was, what I was, and how I interacted my environment and what is it that I'm doing? What is it that I'm actually doing?
Interesting.
It's not just about what's in front of you. It's about what's inside of us that is really who we are. And what's inside of us, and where does that start, and how does that road play out into everyday living, and how is that applicable to everybody, and how does that fit within science, religion, spirituality, and my own experiences? How does this all come together? So that's what I knew I had to do.
Right. Was there anything else after that? Did the being communicate anything?
Once that light hit me and I was filled with that information and that understanding, I woke up on the side of the freeway.
Okay.
And for the road. And when I woke up into my body, I felt the weight of gravity pulling me down as I'm laying there. You know, I had 8 broken ribs and 3 broken places, a broken wrist, internal bleeding, punctured lung, road rash everywhere. And I felt pain for the first time in that whole experience. And that was very shocking to my body and to my spirit, you know, that I feel the weight of gravity. I feel the energy in my body, like it's going through resistors. I feel resistance in my body as my energy moves through my body, and I feel how slow it is, you know. And it's a weird feeling to be in the pureness of what we are, in the pureness of love, in the pureness of creation, in the pureness of that energy, and then come back in from that pureness and almost be like put inside out. It's almost like your spirit comes out of you, you're put inside out, and then you're put back in your body. And then you're meant to look at things from a different perspective. You know, and I think this is why when people come back, they go directly to the very beginning, which is love, which is creation. I felt this immense amount of love, and it's all about love. You're right. It's all about creation, and it's all that's happening around us. We are living within the fundamentals of creation.
Most people are very much changed after an experience like this in all kinds of ways. Seems like they're all positive, but the net outcome we might think doesn't always look positive. A lot of people change jobs, get divorces, things like that, as they are going down the path they feel like they need to change and go down at that point. I want to come back to some of this, but briefly, I want to hear, what was your recovery like? Because that was a bad accident. And did you have a brain injury too?
Yeah, I did have a traumatic brain injury. It's, you know, caused me some memory issues and stuff, but it was a tough recovery. Again, I was alone. Everybody in my life had kind of walked away from me at that point, you know, having dealt with depression and stuff. I kind of secluded myself. I had one friend that let me stay at his house. I spent months inside of a room in seclusion, just thinking about what had happened to me and trying to process and understand what it was that was, because I hadn't done drugs. I hadn't experienced any hallucinogenic trips before. And this was something that was completely new to me. And so recovery was a time of deep sorrows. It was some of the deepest sorrow I'd ever walked through in my life. And it was sorrowful because I had to realize that I had been lying to myself my whole life. My whole life was fundamentally an observational lie. The way that I had perceived life was not correct, and it wasn't to its fullness. And so walking back your reality is the hardest thing that anybody can do.
Yeah. Do you have some advice for other people who may be going through an experience like that?
Yeah, for me, it was realizing that this is meant to transform us. Nothing happens to us. Everything happens for us. And if we realize that there's nothing to hold on to from the past, once yesterday is done, once we go to sleep, I look at things as like, I've died. So every day now becomes an independent life. It's not one long storyline anymore. It becomes one life every day. And I can maximize the effectiveness of that life easily in that one day. It's easier to justify, easier to play out, easier to maintain my energy. They will transform us. And it's either going to transform us into something greater, or it's going to create a regression to where we don't fit here anymore. And I think this is a lot of problems that a lot of NDEers have is how do we take this information and apply it to our life?
Exactly. Something significant happened. Not only what does it mean, but it must have happened to me for a reason. So let's figure all that out. And it takes time. So to those that may be going through something like that, be patient. Give it its time, give it its space, and it'll come to you.
It will. Explore. Explore your thoughts. Explore your reasoning for who you are and why you are what you are. You know, that was the number one question that I asked myself is why? Why am I Jeremiah? What makes me Jeremiah? What is the Jeremiah that the world knows, and how does that line up with the Jeremiah that I know? And I found that there was a discrepancy there. I had tried to become something to everybody, and in doing that, I became multiple people. And when I was alone with myself and I had to live with the truth, not the projection, but the truth of what I was, it became really burdensome because I didn't know how to effectively project who I was and what I was. And so, you know, going through that, the recovery, and, you know, others going through this, we're looking for our identity. We're looking for what we are, not who we are. We know who we are. We are love. We love people. We're looking for love. We're looking to be validated. We're looking to validate other people. But what are we? What makes us that love? And what we are is creation manifested in a physical form that's able to create life in every regard. And if we could use our experiences to create life in other people and life around us in our environment, you know, that's where the connection becomes fulfilled. Because it's not that we're sad, it's not that we're depressed, it's that we lost the connection to life. And the connection to life is creation.
Some people would put that whole last part of what you just said, some people would put that in different terms. Tell me if you think these would be accurate at all. Refer to themselves as a son or daughter of God. Does that fit with what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just another way of saying it, right?
Being a son or daughter of God is being a reflection of the parent.
Right.
Right. And to be the reflection of the parent is to look at the parent and say, what is he doing? And so if we look at God and say, what is God doing? What is outside of creation? Like, what is outside of it? Nothing. There's nothing outside of creation. And so if there's nothing outside of creation and nothing that is created doesn't come from a creator. I mean, everything that's created comes from a creator. And so there's nothing outside of creation. Creator is what creates. We are within creation. So we have to say, what has our creator done? And how does our creation fit the idea or the intentions of the creator? Well, we can look around all around us in nature and see how that energy of life is being expressed. It's being expressed by community, by working together, by holding space for each other, by doing what we're created to do. Like the tree doesn't become a lumberjack. Because the first thing you'd have to do is chop itself down, right? So why do we create environments that are not conducive to life? We are being the lumberjack to our own tree, and we're cutting it down, trying to save everybody else. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be what we're created to do.
Isn't it interesting that we are also happiest or feeling the most real joy, deep joy, when we're creating?
Yes.
And I'll throw out a couple of examples, and it's different for everybody. If you've had children, okay, what does that feel like when you hold that new baby in your arms?
Yeah.
Okay, there's one. For some people, it would be, hey, I'm a gardener and I picked that piece of fruit where I planted that tree 10 years ago and nurtured it. And now there's this beautiful, wonderful, sweet fruit from it. And there are so many other things that we can create, as well as passing on all the love and goodness that you're talking about. Appreciate that. I want to go back and ask you about a couple other things that you brought up earlier, because, oh man, this one I just wish I could picture. You mentioned colors, and a lot of people mention colors to me, colors that they can't describe. I'm going to put you on the spot. Describe it to me.
Sure, yeah.
Figure out how to describe a color you can't describe.
Yeah. So when you walk into a room, now, I don't know what colors you don't like, say it's red. When you walk, it doesn't matter if you like it or not, because when you walk into the red room, there's an emotion that automatically happens to you. You feel it. We don't recognize it because we're so focused on the sight, the visual, but we feel something too. Okay. So there's a depth of feeling. So when you look at the colors on the other side, you're not just seeing the colors. You are having an entirety of an experience with the color, because the color is not just a light. It's a feeling. It's a sound. It's a vibrational frequency, and it does something. So that's one aspect. Another aspect is a pearl essence to it. So when you think about like a pearl, on a color on a paint job on a car or something like that, there's not just the color of it, but there's another dimension to the depth of the color. There's space, it seems, from the beginning of the color to the end of the color that you see, right? And so you are immersed within the color or within the experience of what that color is supposed to represent.
Okay.
You're dipping your spirit into a color instead of just looking at it from the outside, creating a distance of separation. You are actually within the color and within the experience of the color.
So when I'm trying to figure it out, I'm thinking way too much one-dimensionally.
Right.
I'm thinking, well, you know, I know what happens if you mix red and yellow.
Sure.
So just tell me, what colors do I mix to see what you saw? But that's not what it is at all. It's a much more deep dimensional thing than just what we talk about as color here in this life. Hey, that helps.
We think about color, you're looking at it as coming in through this way. When we see color, we're talking about seeing it with everything. Seeing it means how does it feel? Seeing it means how deep does it go, right? We're seeing it from a two-dimensional standpoint, whether it's on a frame, in a picture, a painting, or whether it's, you know, drawing, or whether it's on our screen. That doesn't represent a depth. You know, you have to really understand that you have to be there and have two different perspectives to get that depth perspective.
So that kind of helps me understand also when you said the white light went through you.
Right.
It wasn't just on you. It didn't just lighten up your skin.
It became me. It became me.
Yeah.
I mean, we are light at the end of the day. That's what we are. We are light. Scientists know that we emit light photons. You know, and we emit the most amount of light photons when we're in peace and balance. You know, our atoms and cells, you know, clump together when we're in adversarial conditions. And so we don't express that energy or that light. So we are light. You know, that's really what energy is. Energy is light. You know, it's a higher frequency energy, but it's what we are, and we connect to what we are.
Hey, just a couple more things before we finish up. You mentioned becoming the purpose, or in other words, your mission in life. And you sort of explained what that was, but I'd love you to succinctly, like in a one sentence, tell me what Jeremiah's mission now is.
My mission is to live within the purpose of the intention of my creator. And if I live within the purpose, I can see that space was created to see the expansiveness of my power. I could see that earth was created to show me how to utilize my energy and my spirit. And I could see that I am evolving my spirit and becoming my truest, most powerful form. And that once I leave this physical world, I can no longer manipulate the energetic spirit that I am. I am creation. I am love. I am life. And so are you. And so is everybody that's watching this. You know, we are creation. We are the manifestation of love, and we are the continuation of the cycle, just like it's happening in nature.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much fear do you have of the day that you actually will die?
I don't. I die every day. I die every day now. So there is no fear of death. There's only fear of not living to my potential, not living to my purpose, not living the intention of God for my life, you know, not living the representation of God's intention through the actions and words of Jesus. So that's what I'm more worried about, is that I don't fulfill that. And that's what keeps me alive and awake, is that I want to fulfill the purpose of creation. And so I need to become creation in every regard, whether it's through my words, whether it's through my presentation, whether it's through my actions, whatever it is, I am a representation of creation. I am creation forming continually. And so I need to represent creation. This is how we get into alignment with God and our intentions.
And for someone listening who doesn't yet know what their mission is, what advice do you have for them?
It's the same. We're all in this experience, intaking energy, using that energy like a potter, you know, uses clay to form our spirit. And it's not just that we're meant to form our spirit, but we're meant to form the spirit and environments of other people. We're meant to express creation to creation. And so everyone's purpose is the same. It's to create a body that will hold your spirit in a healthy regard, an environment that's conducive to growth and life. And it's to go express that life through your actions and through your relationships. It's through the words of encouragement, the words of love, the words of acknowledgement, the words of compassion. It's realizing that negative words have a negative impact on the body. You're killing the body when we have negative thoughts and negative words and negative experiences. We're not just creating an environment for other people, but we're also in that environment because the words that we're using is creating our reality. And so you're doing unto others as you're having done to yourself by doing that stuff. Because in your mind and in your reality, that's the environment. And so it's realizing that all of our purposes are the same. It's I'm going to love you, or I'm going to give you life, and I'm going to create life in you any way that I know how, because I'm creating life any way that I know how. And it's every action, every thought, every word, every experience, find life, find creation in it, find why it's happening for you, and not regress and say it's happening to me, because it's not.
Okay, last thing, this is going to be something very specific that I want you to come up with. With everybody that's listening to this today, and imagine, kind of picture the globe, okay? Because we have some listeners in South Africa and the Congo and UK and New Zealand and everywhere in the United States and all over the place, okay? China, you name it. Let's all of us do one thing today, and all the same thing, so that we can help spread this, what you're talking about. Give us one thing that we can all do today.
The most important thing is to love yourself, and to love yourself through your mistakes, to realize that if you went through life and you had a wheelbarrow in your mind and you picked up every piece of time that we worried and every piece of time that we stressed out and we had anxiety and fear, and then we loaded it up and we carried it and we stood back and said, hey, how much is that? Like, cause it would be a lot. If you go back to through your life and say, how much time did I worry? And then you realize that in this moment, you are the smartest you've ever been. You have the most amount of energy you've ever been. And because you are alive, you are walking within your purpose. And so it's to love yourself, to realize that every action that you've created was an intention from love for yourself. It's forgiving yourself. It's realizing that you are the power of creation, and that if you have died every night, then you wake up and none of that matters anymore. It's not real. Extract the information, use it to make better decisions tomorrow. But in this moment, realize you're everything that you need to be. You are life and the expression of life. And so loving yourself is the first thing that we need to do, because if we don't know how to love ourselves for everything that we are, we don't know how to love anybody else. And if we realize that we are alive and that love is life, then we realize that we're everything that we've been looking for. There's nothing we need. We are the everything that we need. We are the love that we've been seeking, because we are the life that we've been living and we've been looking for.
Beautifully said. Thanks a lot, Jeremiah. I appreciate you being on with us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.